of the Library Facilities Financing Authority Joint Powers Authority Board to order. Can we have a roll call?
Director Ando?
Here.
Director Bernal?
Here.
Director Goldstein?
Here.
Director Moriello?
Here. The first item on the agenda is to approve the today's agenda. Make sure that it looks like there's nothing else that we need to discuss or move to discuss at a later time. Does the agenda look okay to everybody? So we'll note that the agenda is approved by consensus. Oral communications, this is the time where anybody can address us on a matter that's not on the agenda for a period of time of 3 minutes or less. And it has to be something that is within our jurisdiction to discuss. So is there anyone who'd like to make an oral communication? Hi, how are you, Bruce?
Good morning, Ms. Moriello.
Good morning.
I'm a little out of breath.
And I looked at you and I gave the instructions on the 3 minutes, you know.
I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. I looked through the agenda packet, and one thing I didn't see is a dollar sign. So that's one of the things I'm most curious about. And I've got a page from a presentation that you gave, Ms. Moriello, in January. These facilities projects, these library facilities projects, have been talked about for years, and they've been fairly well documented. And so I kind of understand those. But for Live Oak, it says $5 million. And for Scotts Valley, it says $5 million. And those are more than the amounts that were discussed in the facilities master plan. So I infer that there's something, someone has something in mind that may be a non-library facility. So I kind of wish that that there's more information about what those amounts are intended to cover. I think we need more detail to understand what that's, what's intended there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other oral communications? All right, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda only has the minutes. Is there any questions or concerns on the minutes?
Any of the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes. Do we have a second?
Second.
Anybody in the audience want to comment on the minutes? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The minutes are approved unanimously. Okay, so the next item is other business. Item A, it's the appointment of legal counsel, page 5 of the staff report. And Marcus, do you want to introduce this item for us?
Sure. At the January board meeting, the board considered, had a discussion about legal counsel and decided to wait until more time passed and more concepts came together. And so it was discussed to bring to this meeting a discussion of both legal counsel for this board acting as a body and potential legal counsel for a bond issue, which would be bond counsel. Other than that, not a whole lot of details. Seeing there's still some pretty big decisions about election dates and will we go forward with bond measure and when. So it may be preliminary to move towards contracting with the bond council. But I think from a staff direction, we're interested in what this body is considering, what direction to go to on either its legal counsel to continue to use essentially pro bono resources from their respective agencies, and bond council, should we start a process to identify who the bond council could be.
Okay, thank you for that. So currently, do we have an agreement with Jones Hall from any of the library groups, or?
No.
There's nothing pending at this
point? Correct. We've had a lot of discussions with them, and they've provided a lot of really strong advice without an agreement thus far.
Okay. All right. Members, Jamie.
I think my suggestion on this might be to take a look at a couple of the other items on the agenda and circle back to it, because I think if we look at our schedule and we look at what we're doing with the potential ballot measure, that might influence where we go with the near-term bond council, because if we're not moving forward, obviously, it's not a priority. But if we are moving forward in relatively quick timeline, it seems like we might have a different process for legal counsel.
Well, and I agree with that. I think that's a good idea. And regardless of timing, do we want to do some kind of little mini, like RFP kind of thing, where we would say...
I was actually just suggesting a little bit later this morning.
No, I know.
Oh.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just asking the question in the abstract, regardless of the timing. Yeah. Would we want to do some sort of process or... I would think, right?
I think so. Yeah. It would behoove the board to start...
Do something.
Yeah.
Do some sort of process. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would think so. All right. Well, let's take Jamie's suggestion, if that's agreeable to the other board members. Anyone from the audience want to comment on the appointment of legal counsel at this point, or we'll come back to it? Yes.
Is Jones Hall a, are they already working for one of the parties?
No. I asked that question, and Marcus said
not yet.
Well, they're working for the City of Santa Cruz, but not as an agency, but not for the library.
Not for the library groups. They're working for the City of Santa Cruz, but not for the library, library agencies.
So my understanding is that this... this agency doesn't have any income, and so if you have no income, you have no money to pay for a bond council, and yet the members are the same members who are going to succeed the current library board, and so at some point, the same board members will have access to all of the income that the library gets and can pay for a bond council at that point.
Okay, so moving on to item B, which is a discussion of the possible revenue measure in 2016. This is on page 6. And Marcus, did you want to introduce this for us?
Sure. As the board well knows, there's been a lot of discussions about a potential date for a ballot measure. The last discussions were probably targeting a June of 2016 ballot measure for the presidential primary. November's ballot measure is an option as well. November 2016, all that ballot measure will be very tight, compacted with a lot of state propositions as well as local propositions. June may be a more interested date. But this board has also had discussions in the past about a special election that could be done outside of either of those two. So there would be three different options. And a lot of that, you know, might be the cart in front of the horse with regards to, there's still some pretty big governance decisions to be made that will set the amount and size of the bond issue and therefore the timeline to do a campaign to support that bond issue or to support that bond issue. We do have Gene Bregman here to be able to answer any questions about what he's seeing shaping up for 2016. We've also included, just as an FYI, some attachments, two timelines for this board's activities of forming a CFD. Those would be our obligation. The one of most interest is attachment 2 that talks about the June ballot measure timeline that was an old for June 2015, but those dates would relatively still be the same, which would put us pretty quick with acting to start the process to determine what our rate and apportionment methods are going to be, meaning how big is a bond issue and how do we allocate the collection of resources from the property owners in the jurisdictions. We're getting pretty tight with that timeline. If we don't move within the next 30 to 60 days, we'll start really putting pressure on just the process itself to get to a June election. That being said, I think Gene would probably be the more important information to hear about what he's seeing with regards to dates for 2016.
Okay, so Gene, would you like to share your perspective?
Well, just looking at the schedule, and it seems that some of the legal groups that have to jump through with creating the CFD and all of that, if I'm reading this, page 9, correctly, it appears that what we originally talked about doing the poll that will set the actual tax measure and which election and all that, we planned on January. It seems to me that based on this, we have to do it earlier. But because it's by January, everything has to be in place, pretty much. So that would seem to me that we then probably, maybe right after Thanksgiving, kind of or late November, early December, do the poll. And then from that, try to figure out, are we going to go in June or November? There are a bunch of other things locally going to be on some ballot or other. Santa Cruz City Schools. Something to do with the RTC or the roads. Somebody's going to have something. I don't know which election they're going to be on now. Cabrillo College is looking at something. Maybe the parks even.
Yes.
looking at something. So that's, you know, with ours, that's like at least five major ballot measures. I have no idea how many of those are looking at November, pretty well set in November, and how many are thinking about June. My guess is everybody's instinct is always to go to November. With a larger turnout, better chance. We've had success in June. The last time we did the last sales tax was June 2008, when we did permanent sales tax, and we won. So I think it's certainly definitely worth considering. But the big thing will be, before we actually get in the field, is to look at what we want to test in terms of size of bond measure that will be financed by the parcel tax, and therefore how much the parcel tax amounts we're going to look at, and that's the various further considerations we'll have to kick around and knock out before we actually put the thing in the field and actually work on the questionnaire with whatever subcommittee you all decide to put together.
Okay, thank you, James. Other comments?
I just have a question for Jane. Jane, you did the last poll. I was just wondering, are there any factors or variables that you think that have changed from the last poll since then that might affect the future poll? Or, other than the more ballot measures you mentioned?
Just the way the economy has been going, which is good in general. On the other hand, we've got these presidential campaigns that, by tonight will be in full swing. At least on one side of the island. And that's a consideration, too, when we think about the June versus November. If it looks like Republican turnout's going to be boosted because there are things still going to be going on, that makes June a little less attractive, probably. But take that into consideration and analyze the whole thing. Other than that, I'm not sure that there's any major events that have occurred that change favor. Since we were pretty much on the border everywhere with whatever kind of factors we're looking at. For putting before the voters, before we get to that two-thirds. It's hard to know exactly where we're going to fall out with all this right now.
Comment another factor. There will be local elections in November. And those soak up a huge amount of energy. Mm-hmm. And my question to the campaign is, who's going to run? Who's going to do the legwork on a vigorous campaign? Some of the players that were very strong last time around, either their friends, don't have any money to invest.
Well, that has to go through the equation as well.
Yes, Jamie.
So I want to be really clear about the timelines. My understanding is that the first step for us to take sort of is to amend the JPA, the document that governs this organization, and identify the bond amount in it and the apportionment.
Right.
So if the deadline is early December to have all that in place and adopt the final resolution, which means so it'd be going through the jurisdictions in November, presumably, we really need to know the apportionment by the end of October, mid-October. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, Gene, that's really a time
factor. Earlier even.
Oh, okay. So that's, if we're not really mid-August yet, but September, it's 60, 80 days.
Getting tight. Yes.
Yeah, you didn't come up with those figures you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that timeline is really for November.
So we're really talking about wanting to get something really done probably in September sometime.
30 to 60 days?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the unspoken imperative. It's one thing to look at the calendar and see when you have to check things off, but to actually slug out the details. I mean, by the time we're moving towards a ballot measure, there's got to be a program that everyone's getting behind. And that's a pretty brutal schedule under the best of circumstances right now. So.
And do we have any clarity? Does anyone have clarity on the transportation measures? I mean, does it? Do we have clarity on a date?
No. I spent an hour and a half at Georgetown Barrow last week.
So if you had to take an educated guess, I mean,
they're grappling with this question. If there's this opposition to the rail part of it, and
right.
They were on a pretty good trajectory, and now that's not insignificant opposition
right.
They've got going. So they're on a similar timeline, trying to figure out what field is there, how they're dealing with it, and they're counteracted successfully, et cetera.
You were looking at June?
Well, I know they were looking at June, but I don't know if they're going to, you know. What I worry about is putting too many items on the ballot and having them go south. We're having a study session for the Board of Supervisors on the 18th to discuss the parks measure, and we are talking about doing a parks measure, but the timing is not decided, and we are going to suggest that the board take some time to sort of talk about their own prioritization of the various measures so that we don't wind up competing with ourselves. And my expectation is, although I have no clarity from the board as to whether this would be true, but I don't think they're going to want to put on competing measures. I think they're going to say, yeah, that's right, let's wait and let the other measures that, that are being discussed make their way through. And I think transportation will be the one that, you know, will be the most significant in terms of figuring out the timing and, you know, all of that, because their transportation needs are so significant and their desire to advance the, you know, the rail project is so significant. So I think that's going to wind up, being a critical discussion point. And then, the library piece, I think the question is going to be, you know, how much flexibility is there in the timeline? And my suggestion would be to take the time that we need so that we don't create unnecessary tension around, you know, timing to decide the issues of the size and the scope of the project so that we could move forward in a harmonious way with the community, because I think we need a strong, you know, political voice that we're all on this together and we all support the projects together. And you know, I think it's going to take us a little bit more time to get there. So I would hate to think that, you know, that we're not going to do that. And I know that Marcus has been working on the issue of the fees, and I'm very concerned about the business side of it, the non-residential side of the fee process in the unincorporated area, because the city of Santa Cruz and the other cities have pretty good information about their business base because they have things like business license fees and other, you know, normal connections with their business community. Ours are related to things that show up on the assessor's rolls, and the assessor's rolls, which are used for the purposes of determining your property taxes, are not necessarily always directly related to the things that are happening on the ground. And so I think we should be careful, because we've had situations in the past where we've made certain assumptions about those parcel taxes and fees on business properties, and they've turned out to be unreasonable even by, you know, our standards after we've applied them, because, you know, you had a commercial property, but there's just a house on it, you know, something like that. So that's going to take us a little time to work through all those business parcels in the unincorporated area. So I don't know. I just think June is very ambitious, and, you know, if we could make it, that's grand, but I'm worried that, you know, that it's too much to, you know, tackle all at once. But if everybody else feels like we can do it, I'm certainly happy to try.
Well, from Capitola's perspective, this is a high priority. I don't feel like I necessarily hold the keys to the car to get us started and going. By that time, I guess my two cents is we should all be clear, though, given what I've heard about the November ballot, I don't think we want to be anywhere near that from what I'm seeing at this point. You know, Gene didn't mention the statewide initiatives.
Oh, right. Oh, of course.
But there's a whole, you know, they're talking about it's the lowest threshold in 100 years for signatures to get a statewide ballot initiative on. So there's just a, you know, it's looking like a really crowded ballot. And if we don't make the June date, you know, are we talking 2018? In which case, I just think we should all be clear about that. Because, you know, at that point, it's just not this project. It's really just a different project.
But, Gene, you, the last time we did the polling, you opined that there was very little distinction between a scheduled election and a special election from the perspective of the poll. And is that still your thinking?
Well, we obviously got to check on that in the question of the poll. That seems to be the case, especially knowing our history in the June elections. We would do a mail-only ballot, and those tend to have good turnouts.
Right.
That didn't directly compete with anything. It was by itself. The problem with that is that costs a lot of money. And if you end up, if you win, well, you can basically pay for the election out of proceeds. But if you lose, then you just add a whole bunch of money.
Right.
And that's the trouble with that. You know, the advantage of that sort of thing is, you know, you're not going to have the schools compete with Drake and Owens only June and November. They're going to bond anyway.
They're going for November 15th.
Parcel
tax. Two parcel tax.
Well, 15th. Ah, the city of San Francisco schools.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, then, never mind then. But
they may be doing
bonds. I was going to say, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Right. If they win this, they may decide be emboldened to go for it.
One way or the other.
Right.
One
yeah.
is operational.
Yeah. Going up. Yeah. But, yeah. I don't remember what I'm saying.
Well, the special election.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we look at all those possibilities, and you know, the cost element is not something to be discounted. That I've seen that become an issue unto itself in places.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in special election. If you waited a month or 2 months, just put it on in June, it would cost you, you know, a fraction of that. So it's not like you're going in an odd number of the year when the result is pretty much only the special elections. But all these things, and in fact, and going back to the agreement on what can be part of it, maybe we'll be informed at least in part by the results of the poll. I mean, the poll comes back now and says everybody's feeling really good about things, and it doesn't matter what we're going to ask them for; they'll say yes. Well, then they just go for the whole ball of wax. However, if there's some hedging there among the voters, and we kind of have to make some decisions about how much we actually go for, figuring out a strategy for what maybe does and doesn't get done, then it's going to be more difficult and take more time. And that alone may force you to put it off till November, but the poll should help you with that.
Yeah, Martin.
I was going to say, I guess the thinking about the sort of the major variables or considerations, we have the previous poll, so we have kind of a good sense of what might be supported and things that would change that significantly, at least the total amount. We have somewhat of a gauge there of what the overall amount could be supported. But then that leaves then the question of the scope or the allocation, and that's probably one of the bigger issues to resolve in a short period of time. And then the other one would be the campaign and whether things that maybe that might be difficult. So that we'd have to sort of gauge as to whether there would be, again, if there was, like, as you were saying, I agree with you, Susan, that it'd be great to get consensus and have everybody, both boards supporting it. And so if we're able to get agreement on the scope and then build up the support for our campaign, and And that's where I don't have a sense as to whether they would be able to mobilize quickly if there was some way to sort of quickly agree to the scope.
To me, the scope is everything. Governance can be is virtually worked out. The financing new formula is apparently pretty much agreed upon. Finding out about the commercial parcels in the county is doable.
Those are all technical challenges.
Yeah, I mean, these are not the hang-ups.
Yeah, no.
But I feel awfully strongly that shooting for June is... should be our first choice for a whole lot of reasons. Lack of competition, the consistent support we're getting, and we're just losing purchasing power the more we put this thing off. I think although the timeline is tight, a strong campaign can be put together if we have a program. I think, you know, when we were talking about this a year ago, there were questions from the labor unions and from the government, do we want this new governance structure? And we have a reach agreement, and people have a comfort level with that. So I think those things are being resolved. And if you have a timeline and a rationale for the timeline, you make it happen. You make figuring out the county parcels a priority. Yeah. But the allocation is everything. If we get an allocation program that people agree on, we can pull together a strong campaign.
Right.
It's an issue that people like.
Right.
And it's just a matter of putting the mechanics in place and doing a strong campaign and doing it. And I just think there's so many reasons. If we can do that, June's the better target. That's just my instinct on it.
I could agree with you.
So let me just ask one question, and then I'm going to ask to have Bruce ask his question. If we didn't want to do November, and June is the best, but June didn't work for whatever reason, wouldn't we be going to something like an odd year timeline?
Then you can do it most any time you want in 2017.
Yeah, so it might be something like, you know, March or April or whatever.
Right.
Of 2017.
Special mail only or something like that.
In terms of the
schedule. Yeah, in terms of the schedule. So I don't know. I mean, again, I'm with you. If we could pull it off, I think it would be superb. But I'm just worried that we, I hope we can. Okay, Bruce.
Thank you. Mr. Brinkman did two polls. And as I recall, one of the differences between the first and the second is that in the second, there was a fall off in support in the city of Santa Cruz, and that seemed like it might have been due to the 5-year water rate increase in the city. Water rates are going up all over. SOB Water Board has it on the agenda tonight, and it looks like it's going to be something like a 40% increase in consumption rates. Something a lot. And I'm concerned about what the water rates are going to do in schools. So there's another problem there, that schools are going to have less money because they're paying more for the water. The second thing I wanted to point out is early in Supervisor McPherson's term, he spoke to the Board of Supervisors, and he said that there were 8 proposals in the State Assembly to lower the bond threshold from 2/3 down to 55%. And I remember the library board passed resolution in favor of that. But there were 8 different proposals, and none of them came to fruition. I talked to Assemblymember Stone a couple months ago, and he said that there's many categories of agency, and the state legislature is not going to want to just lower the threshold across the board. He thought the number one that might get support was for roads, some kind of transportation. In the federal site. I think we should all encourage our state legislators to put a ballot measure to lower that bond threshold on the ballot next year. And if the local bond measure happens coincidentally with the statewide drop in the threshold, it can apply the bond measures on that same day. So I think everybody should to talk to the state legislators and try to get them to do something next year, not just something that actually works.
Okay, thank you. I've always appreciated that suggestion. I know it's been in the county's ledge program for a number of years. But then again, I have to tell you, so has been the proposal that Assemblymember Stone was able to get through the legislature last year, where you have a less than countywide sales tax capability for the unincorporated area. That's something that cities have enjoyed for many years, but counties have not had that opportunity. And we tried for many, many years, and we're always feeling like we're banging our heads against the wall. And last year, when Assemblymember Stone put it forward, you know, again, there was, you know, he wasn't there all the times that it had failed before, and so he was just pushing it through, and sure enough, was able to get it through. We were like sitting there going, how did that happen? But timing is everything in politics, as we all know. So, Jamie.
So, a couple points. One is that if, you know, again, Sharon Capasola's perspective here is that if we don't do it in 16, I don't think Capitola can meet the guide, the timelines of the contract with the county. So for us, you know, that jeopardizes, for Capitola's perspective, $2.5 million that we've saved. So for us, funding it in 16 is very important. The other
we're going to hold your feet to the fire.
Well, it's just pointing that out, but that's definitely an issue for us. And we would, you know, if we're going to talk about beyond 16, we're going to have to address that.
Yeah.
The other thing about the polling is I think that there's been three various different polls. The preliminary one you did for us, Gene, I think was about a bond, and then we transitioned
to. We found out after that poll was only couldn't do a bond.
Couldn't really do that. So the other two polls were on a tax. But when you think about the numbers, you know, the $61 million yield was kind of, I think, where we were had sort of been settling on, sort of circling around, which was something like a little under $50 a parcel of tax. And that, you know, pretty consistently, when you looked at that $61 million total yield, you know, the numbers were between, I think, 70 and 65% of the various polls. And then, you know, it really took until we got down to 50 or 40 or 50 million to get sort of the stronger, consistent, in the 70s responses. So I guess I'm echoing what Martine said earlier. We have a pretty good gauge with some different data points from past polling. I do think before you make the final decision to put it on the ballot, you want to poll, but I think we can, at this point, have a pretty good framework for, well, within a couple percentage points, where we're going to land, should we do more polling, and we should not move forward today as fast as we can, knowing, using those numbers as our guide.
Well, the only cautionary note is I want to get those non-residential numbers settled, because they will affect your residential numbers. I think your business numbers in the unincorporated area are too high. And because they're too high, it's going to generate less money than you think, which means then that you're going to have to impact either the residential rates for single residences or multifamily residences. We actually had a little room in the multifamily residences that I thought wouldn't create too much difficulty. But anyway, we had, those are little details. I don't think they're issues that are going to make or break anything. But I do think if we wind up putting out a measure that has something that, you know, all the agriculture community comes out and goes, this ain't going to work for us, that is a bad thing. So we want to make sure that, you know, we don't make a mistake on setting those rates.
So if I could, just how long do you think it would take to...
Well, Marcus was...
I know you have other tasks on the to-do list, but...
What do you think, Marcus? I don't know exactly where
I mean, I was just trying to go back in time. It looks like the commercial sector is about 4% of the total parcel count, so it's not a lot of property in there.
No, but it generated how much of the total proceeds? It wasn't the parcel count, it was the proceeds that I was worried about.
It was still pretty low.
Well, but it's not in the percentage, but just in a number. It was several million, as I remember.
Yeah, about $750,000, $700,000 out of the 4.5.
That's not a game changer.
Well, wait a minute. $750,000 out of 4.5? That's a lot.
Give me just a second.
It's not $750,000 as a total. That's just the annual amounts I think he's looking at. Yeah, it's the annual proceeds. And again, some portion of that's the cities, which I think are good numbers. It's just the unincorporated area numbers that are a problem.
But just in terms of determining this,
his consultant is working on it, and I don't know where they left it, Marcus. Do you know?
Well, you know, I think we left it with some big questions about the allocations. So there wasn't a final determination of where the weight was going to be carried between. There were different models that were run, but the final determination. So the consultant just waiting for that final direction or final concepts. And that's the rate and apportionment discussion. If that makes any sense?
No, actually, to me, I think it's really a question of how the rates are determined for commercial properties in the abstract. I think it's a technical question that we will not argue about amongst ourselves. So I think we should just decide what we think makes sense for those business properties and do it wisely and make sure we've reached out to whoever we need to make sure we don't wind up with an opposition campaign unexpectedly.
Sure.
But then the apportionment piece is the piece that we still have work to do on, and that I think will happen.
Remind me, is it the commercial application was something like 1x of the residential? Is that 2x? Was that how it came to it?
I'm just looking at it. It varied by model, so we looked at up to a half an acre, and then we looked at half an acre to a full acre, 1 acre to 5 acres, anything over 5 acres. And then it was 1-to-1 for half acre or less.
And then
2-to-1, 5-to-1, 10-to-1.
Okay, yeah. I remember that. So that's the question. And probably what you're reacting to is the 10-to-1s, right? The 10-to-1s and the...
You know, I don't remember.
I don't remember the
details that well, quite frankly. It's been a long time since I looked at it. But my recollection was that the rate structure was there were some pretty hefty rates that would have been charged to the business community that I think they would have reacted to. For example, an annual fee of $5,000 to a business, and I think they will react to that. And so we should just know what they are and decide that makes sense or doesn't.
And I think what we've done on some of our city revenue measures is just run some hypotheticals.
Absolutely.
And see if they make sense.
Absolutely.
And then just talk to your key player.
Absolutely. That's what needs to be done.
So, I mean, I think if you have just different formulas here, run them. Pick some parcels and run them and see if it makes sense.
Well, we've delivered the base information to the consultant, and the consultant was going to do that for us, and we just stopped at some point. So we should start that work again.
And it looks like I'm looking at three different model scenarios, and they're vary at the high end, 485 to 513 a year annual per parcel. So $485 to $513 were some of the last models that we looked at.
Well, that's better.
But the 513 a parcel doesn't deal with a situation in which you
have multiple parcels, same owner, same
general. Driscoll's has 74 parcels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why you might have to have some consideration for some kind of cap.
Yeah.
We've done that in the past, too, with big property owners, where there's an overall cap.
Right.
But, again, I think my recollection is that was really done administratively.
Yes, I think this is all just a technical issue, but it is something, it's a piece of work that I've been worried about for a year.
So, again, set a timeline.
Yeah.
I have one other concern that I have before we move forward. Is looking at the last numbers, I think it's at best touch and go that we can get everything we want, at very best. So there's going to have to be some agreement on what comes out. Mm-hmm. As we test lower amounts in the poll, we'll test 2 or 3 lower amounts. And I sure think that it's a whole lot better to have that kind of agreement in place before we start interviewing and before we decide on what the numbers are. And we're talking about that needs to be hashed out. If it turns out that can't be hashed out in time for a September poll, well, we don't do a September poll. We wait until we can get the answers right. Not just what Mark is working on, but this stuff too.
They're two different.
I know, but we need both things. We certainly need the at least rough agreement. I mean, it doesn't have to be 100%, but at least maybe 90% right. agreement on what's going to go in if the most we can get is $50 million.
Because in looking at those last poll numbers, I think that that's...
Yeah, that's why we didn't do it.
Yeah, you might be at 50 million, and 50 million means it kind of, you know, almost starting over in terms of, you know, what the project list is going to look like.
Right. Or, you always do have the option of trying to do this in two phases.
You know, the other thing I think would be...
One phase will keep it well, and then the second phase will keep it well, but it's 2 years later. That's also another option way we're looking at.
Yeah. The other thing I think would be, you know, reasonable to ask the jurisdictions, because again, I know when we started all of this, I think everybody was having so many financial difficulties because of our, you know, recessionary problems. You know, what if there's not a fully funded project and the expectation is that the local jurisdictions are going to have to contribute the remainder amounts, you know, if we have to reduce certain projects to, you know, a lower level than what is the total funding amount, you know, basically kind of say, okay, you get a whatever, a 80% match, or you get 80% on a dollar or something, instead of, you know, assuming that you're going to get it. And we should discuss whether that's even feasible from a, you know, budgetary perspective for our local jurisdictions. I don't know if it is or not, but.
Well, I mean, I've been feeling like that's where we needed to go for a while. I think you've previously said that. And I do think, given all the other factors that are in play right now, the construction cost index increases, that, you know, each year we wait needs to be at 90 cents on the dollar, you know, where the various polls have come in. To me, I think we need to, you know, the 50 million is probably a realistic, good target that we can get past, and what that probably means is it's 75 cents on the dollar, 80 cents on the dollar for the various jurisdictions. From a Capitola standpoint, our library is a priority for us, and we will, whether it's grant funding or general fund, we'll find a way to close the gap and make it happen. Because frankly, getting 75, 80 cents on the dollar is a lot better than 0 cents on the dollar, and makes it happen. So, I'll put it back to the other jurisdictions, whether you guys can live with that. But I think it, you know, rather than waiting another year where construction costs go up another 10% and we get further behind, if we're able to move forward, if we have a group that's out there that's willing to campaign, energized to do this, and the June primary is a good time to do that.
Well, perhaps maybe looking at, and I can't recall, did the facilities master plan have like any kind of priorities, or I mean, I looked at all the different facilities, and I'm not sure. So maybe looking at that and seeing what are the most critical based on the conditions or something, and then seeing what that adds up to, and then the gap, and then seeing what that would be, and the cities could contribute to make up the gap or something like that. I can't recall.
No, they were very careful, actually, not to do that. You just see what each location requires, but there are no priorities set among them.
But we knew that they really thought Capitola was the priority.
We
can see
it. We know about Capitola and Felton.
Yeah, Capitola.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like there is a general consensus that we should work hard and try to get the timeline for the June ballot, so we should probably get a detailed annotated timeline written up so that we can have some realistic target dates on when to do what, and have Gene's poll guidelines put in there about when he'd like to receive that information, and, you know, when we need to do the technical things with the businesses and the like, and, you know, just update all the steps.
So maybe I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'll try at least. number one is I think that this body should try to have a number of meetings here in the next 4 weeks, because I think that the timelines are coming up relatively quickly, so we can try to see if we can work through this or not. Number two is I think that the big players here in this are the county and the city of Santa Cruz, and maybe you guys could designate some staff to present some various models back to the board about how, you know, going back to the facilities master plan and coming up with maybe, you know, starting with sort of a basic premise, you know, we're funding everything equally in the facilities master plan at a fixed percentage, or we're designated based on this prioritization or something, and give a couple models back, because I think it's hard to sit up here in this kind of setting and horse trade and figure it out. You know, at least seeing the models might maybe help us. And then the third piece of it would be, Marcus, I guess if you can get the information to Susan, to your office, so that you guys can get comfortable about that, because we need to think about the commercial apportionment. So we can kind of close the door on that, just figure out exactly, so we put numbers into the model, we know that what's coming out is reasonable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, those are all good steps.
I guess it doesn't need to be a motion, actually.
You know, and I did, you know, I did think, Jamie and I were trying to schedule a coffee date, and it's like, wait, we can't talk about library. So we do have some limitations on what we could do, but certainly the staff can put together, maybe somebody from the city can put together some of those options without Martine and myself participating and go from there.
Yeah. No, there is some homework that has to be done, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay,
so it sounds like Marcus will get us a new annotated timeline that's got everything in it. Do we need, Marcus, what do we need to do to get the consultant back up to working? I mean, Mr. Holloway pointed out we don't have any money.
The MBS was contracted with the library JPA, mm-hmm. so they're working under that contract to prepare all the assorted modeling. It's feasible to still have the library continue that, but the result of that will need to be presented to this board for acceptance. You know, at a point in time, this board needs to create a minor funding vehicle, whether it be, you know, allocated contributions to mimic what's happening at the library JPA would probably be a recommendation, because there may be some costs that we have to advance, certainly if we do a special election. So that would be something we'll have to bring to the board as a special agenda.
Well, we might want to work with the library JPA board and just ask for a specific allocation from the library fund for these purposes, because normally that would be who would do it. Yeah.
Yes, and we put in our budget money for the campaign and money for doing the financial. I mean, actually, it is part of the money preparing for implementation of the facilities master plan, of which a campaign, I don't know, we fund the June polls and all that. So, within the limits of what we can do, we've actually invested a lot in the steps leading to this.
Let me get to your question about what do we need to do with MBS as the contractor who's been working on the assessment guidance. They've already received updated information from us to prepare a revised timeline for June 2016 measure and anticipation. So they're already working on updating that. We'll have to add in, get some information from the different jurisdictions and Gene about the different layers and approval process and timings of meetings to incorporate that. So.
And sort of follow up, I think on what Cynthia made. So to Janice and Marcus, you guys already have some budgeting authority in the adopted library budget to expend on these.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have money, but they have money.
They don't need money necessarily.
We know people with money. Okay.
And we've been spending it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
So, yes.
Susan, so is what Marcus needs to give the consultants a few parcels or ownership to give you those specific numbers? In the city, you always say, well, what's it going to cost the boardwalk, and start from there. So, I mean, it sounds like the consultants can run the program, but what you're talking about is, let's take a look at some representative ones.
And maybe, Nicole, you could help refresh my recollection, because it's been a while since I thought about this. But when we did it when we were looking at this the last time, we had we did ask them. We gave them a list of top employers and said, what would the rates be for these top employers? And so then they were running the parcel information based on the ownership records. But it's never that easy, because oftentimes they own them as a corporation, and sometimes they own them as a partnership, and sometimes, you know, so it's, you know, it's just a hodgepodge, and you have to kind of know it. So we've said to them, let's sit down, work with you, try to figure out who's what, and, you know, then go from there. And we found some parcels, and I know Marcus knows this from his time in the city of Watsonville as well, where you have some agricultural parcel owners that own, you know, 70 parcels. So it's like, you know, maybe we should just say, okay, you know, you'll only get one parcel charge based on the largest parcel, or, you know, or something. I mean, I don't know what the, you know, what the criteria should be, but we should have something so that we can, you know, not wind up creating an opposition by Driscoll.
Yeah, and I think what you're looking for is some kind of a formula that gets some reasonable level of contributions from
right.
commercial parcels.
Right.
It's not going to generate a firestorm of opposition.
Right.
But really, the residential voting public, they're not going to parse how much are the commercial places. You know, that's not going to become an election issue.
Yeah.
They just want to know they're paying their share.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's
right.
That's why I think it's really more just of an internal
right.
discussion and.
It is certainly a technical discussion. I don't think it should create any conflict amongst anybody. And I think, again, it would just be a process of getting with those business owners and making sure they know what to expect and they feel like it's, you know, it's reasonable. And, you know, and it may be that, again, because the agricultural parcels are a little different than, you know, the boardwalk and other businesses like that, we might want to treat them a little differently. I don't know. We have to figure it out. But I do think it's solvable. It's not a problem.
Okay.
The data is already there.
Yeah, the data is there.
It's
just making sense
out of it. So I think probably the thing to do then is for us to look at our meeting dates, which actually, does that take us to our next?
Yep.
I think it does. Yep. So item B, we know what we're going to do. The minutes will reflect that we're going to get a detailed calendar and have all these additional pieces of work accomplished. Is that agreeable to all of the parties? Does anybody in the audience want to say anything else about item B? Okay, so we'll go along to item C, which is the calendar of the meetings.
No, I was saying several times in the next, because, I mean, in 2 months, I mean, we have to have a...
Oh, I see. Even,
yeah.
Even more frequently than that.
Yeah.
I totally second that. You guys and we have to jam on it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to happen, it needs to happen pretty quickly.
So how about every 2 weeks? Does that seem like a reasonable...
It seems very reasonable. Of course, in 2 weeks, I'm on vacation. I can be next week, and I can meet in 3 weeks on the 13th or 27th.
Okay, so why don't we say the, you want to try the 27th and then a week after that instead of 2 weeks after that? Which would be then the 10th? Oh, no, sorry, 3rd.
Those are both good for me.
Okay, 27th. And then the 3rd. And then it's a 2 weeks later.
And then the 17th after that? Oh, I'm going to be gone the 17th. And let's see, I'm gone the
16th. The 24th. We have a 911 board.
I'm going to be in Santa Barbara that day. How about the day before the 16th? We can make it on a Wednesday that week.
It's not a great.
Not a great day.
Could we bund it up to the 24th?
No, I'm in Santa Barbara.
Oh, you're set. Oh, yeah, you're not. You're not. So really what we're looking for is this.
Well, if we skip the 3rd and then just go straight to the 10th, that works. So then we could.
But the thing is, so it would be basically the end of September, we need a deal. So
okay,
the last one would be.
We would have, let's see, the 23rd I'll be going to. About the 1st then?
October 1st. Do we think that October 1st still meets the deadlines if we were to vote on a distribution strategy by October 1st?
I would hope.
I prefer you did it earlier for all based into the timelines we're talking about.
Well, we'll have plenty of opportunities before that.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just thinking of the drop dead date. And then that would allow the jurisdictions to be adopting the revised JPA over.
Can you meet early that week of the week of the 21st?
September 21st?
Mm-hmm.
I can.
I'll be out.
The whole week?
Yeah.
The whole week you're out?
I'm going to be out from the 17th to the 29th.
I could probably, I need to leave. I don't know what time that flight is. It says Susan to leave for LA, but it doesn't say what time. So maybe the 16th would work if we did it early. I don't know what time the flight is.
I've been 50-50. I'm going to a conference that 16th, 17th, 18th. Not confirmed. But.
To which date? 16th, 17th, 18th?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like I said, I have.
All right. So what have we got so far?
27th and 10th, I think.
So the 27th of this month, the 10th. Okay. Can we do like the 30th?
Yep.
Did we say that didn't?
Well, we're doing the 27th.
The 30th of September.
Oh.
I suppose that on the 10th we can kind of assess whether we need.
Whether we've made any progress. It'd be nice to get it. Yeah, it'd be nice to get that other date in there just because.
Maybe. Would be.
This happens to us sometimes. We can have representatives.
Okay, so let's be clear. We got the 10th. Now, what about the week after the 10th? You go away on the 17th. You may go away on what date?
16th.
16th, 17th, 18th, if I do this thing, which, like I said, I...
Okay, I have a board meeting on the 15th, which means the 14th, and that seems kind of crazy. So that week's kind of out. And then the following week, Steve is gone all week that week, Steve?
17th to the 29th.
To the 29th. So it sounds like 30th is the only, and I'm supposed to be in Sacramento, maybe, that day. And the 29th, you come back, or the 29th, you're out?
Flying back in on the 29th.
You're flying back in on the 29th, so you're out the 29th.
Well, we could do it early in the day on the 30th, on your way to Sacramento.
Meet in
Scottsdale.
Be there by 10 o'clock.
That would be too early.
That would be too early. What if we did like an evening one of these days? Does that help anybody? Let's see if it helps. Does it help me? No.
And you're going to be gone the whole week.
Well, CSEC, I'm gone that day. You're gone the 18th, right? Okay. I don't know what to do, guys.
Are you coming back on the 30th in Sacramento?
No, yes, I will be coming back, but, usually the meetings go, Masa Menos tend to you know, two. By the time I'm back, it's like five. So I could do like dinner, but I'm, you know, traffic that comes sometimes is terrible.
Yeah.
But I could do like, you know, 6 o'clock or something.
Mm-hmm. I could do an evening meeting on the 30th.
Well, you want to just put it in, and then we could always move it if I could do something different.
So for the
when do you come back on the 29th? Do you feel like flying and visiting with us?
No, I think it's late.
You want to sleep?
Yeah.
And we have a council meeting on the 29th.
Or we could do the 1st, and then we don't have to do an evening. I mean, if we do the 1st.
Yeah, the 1st for me is quite...
I've got an open day except for that CCP meeting in the afternoon, which some of you may have on your calendar. I've got an appointment in the morning I can reschedule.
I'm available any point, any time on the 1st.
Well, do people like that better than the dinner? Anybody have a preference?
Between the two, I can choose the daytime meeting.
Yeah, let's do the 1st. Okay, so we'll do the 1st. And so we'll say 9 o'clock all those days. Is that still 10?
No.
No, nobody carries a pen anymore. Okay,
I was the only one without a pen at the table.
All right, so October 1st.
October 1st, October 10th. Sorry, September 10th.
August 27th. The 1st, the next day, September 10th, and then October 1st.
Yeah.
Okay, August 27th, September 10th, October 1st.
Yeah.
And this.
Because I wasn't going to plug each
one. Do we want to put one in for October 15th just for fun? I mean, we'll have other things to discuss.
Yeah.
That's fine for me.
Yeah. Let's do it. We can always cancel them if we don't need them.
Okay. Does that become a regular meeting then?
Do you need that? No, that it belongs to Martina. I just didn't know if you needed it.
Okay. No.
Okay, thanks, Martina. Okay, so we've got a tentative appointment calendar. Shall we go back to the legal counsel discussion before we get to the director recruitment?
So with this schedule, how do you all envision having agreements, the good Lord will win the crypto prize, to how the, to what we're going to be wanting to ask about in the fall? Is that by the September 10th meeting? By the October 1st meeting?
No, I think we're going to try to do it by September 10th, which would mean that I think we should try to take the August 27th as a like study session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, options, go over reviewing choices, and then, I mean, because once we decide, we still want to get to our respective entities too, and make sure they'll.
Well, yeah, I mean they have to approve the JPA.
Well, I know, but we also, even before that, we want to get some conceptual understanding before he goes out for polling. So I think we have to do it on the September 10th date, so that you don't go.
So we'd be looking at the poll results on September 10th?
No. We'll be deciding what the allocation and apportionment is on September 10th.
He'll know what to include. Okay.
So that he can begin to develop his poll.
Oh, okay.
We'll go back to our respective governing boards sometime the end of September.
Right.
Saying, here's the tentative recommendation, and
we need to evaluate.
Please say it's wonderful.
Okay.
And then so maybe 2 weeks after that, we can do the poll.
Right, and then you would.
That would be.
But we would.
Last weekend in September.
Yeah, we would. Yes.
And probably if we do that, then October 1st, it'll probably be some preliminary results.
Okay.
And I do think it's important that what I don't have, because I don't have a calendar, is the JPA.
September 14th, and let me see what the October, because I think the October one is different.
My thought being it's going to be really important to communicate with the jurisdictional reps about kind of the sense of this discussion.
15th?
Yeah. And then to get some advice on what our competition is going to be when the timing and all that. Gene can come to that. But also giving a comfort level to all our councils and to your whole board about actually getting some momentum going on this
right
now. Because honestly, I don't know about the other jurisdictions, but you know, we do little updates at our meetings, but there haven't been substantive reports or asking them for decisions for buy-in. You know, the next big, well, on the governance issue, you know, we've got a general presentation of that. But there's some really big things, and I think people just are going to want to feel prepared. And if there's a sense that we are coming to agreement and we can move forward with this, people want something to happen.
Right.
90% of something is way better than zero. You know,
so let me ask a question. Do we maybe want to do a, you know, joint report to the jurisdictions from this group so that this group can say, dear City of Santa Cruz, City of Capitola, City of Everybody, here's an update from our last meeting. This is where we're kind of heading. This is what we've done, so that could be on your agenda for the library board as well as for the councils and the board of supervisors. And then they can say, well, gee, what about this? And I'm going to have a question about that. And, you know, when is this going to be decided? And we could have a conversation at our, you know, boards before, you know, August 27th. I mean, we can do it now, you know. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Given all the diciness of the issues and the long, drawn-out process and all that, that if we do move forward, over-communicating isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't feel top-down, it's just a report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe, again, we could do it as a report from this committee to the jurisdictions, just reporting in to our respective jurisdictions, and to the library board to keep them informed. Yeah, it's just a way to keep the communication going. And then at your next meeting, you know, when it comes up, people will ask questions and we can answer, tell them what we're thinking and what our, you know, hopes are.
And just in terms of the information that we're really trying to finalize this and the schedule and that polling, etc. Yeah, so what you don't want is in someone's city council meeting, all of a sudden it goes south.
Yeah.
You know, when it does seem like we're kind of honing in on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if one of the cities says, no, I'll never consider it on June, that's unacceptable to me, it would be good to know that, which I don't think anybody will, but, you know, that would be good to know.
The other thing that just occurred to me, and maybe everybody else is already aware of this, but by the end of the schedule that we've been talking about, presumably we're the library board.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we need to think, just maybe everybody else is already thinking that.
There's that transition too.
Yeah.
Which was
it'll be on the transition list that Marcus does.
And just related to, as this transition is being made, I think it will be very important to over communicate to the jurisdictions and the friends and all of the other groups, because there's a lot of anxiety over that.
Yeah.
Well, they could be a CC on our report, too, to the friends, that we would keep them in the loop as well. So, Marcus, is that something maybe you could take a stab at drafting for us, or maybe work with Nicole and coming up
with something? Yeah, work with Nicole, definitely.
Okay, Bruce.
I'm just wondering if draft minutes of this meeting might still serve the same purpose. They have to be done anyway.
Yeah. Well, we don't ever send out draft minutes until we approve them. Just as a protocol, that's kind of bad form. But we can, you know, the letter, I think the staff can draft the letter and then I'll sign it as the chair. And hopefully I will get fired as the chair at the next meeting or something. That's not exactly right. But we'll, you know, we'll work hard to try to not overstate what transpired. But
and I think minutes are one thing, but what we're talking about is more of a plain English update.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not overly, you know, detailed. I mean, a sort of simple kind of presentation.
You know, honestly, it wouldn't hurt to have everyone's.
Yeah, that would be great.
On
have everybody's signature on it. Sure.
Kind of the buy-in.
Yeah, it. Yeah. It's a good way to say it's an intent to inform all of the jurisdictions from your respective city managers and county managers. Right. That would be great. Yeah.
So are we looking to go to the city councils before the 27th or before the 10th?
Well, I think we shouldn't worry about when it goes. I think we should just get it on the next agenda whenever Marcus gets a chance to finalize the letter. I mean, assuming he does that this week, I don't know how the calendar is.
That was fun.
I mean, for me, we wouldn't be able to do it.
Lay on the table.
I mean, if we did it this week, we could get it on for August 18th. I don't know.
We're dark in the second half of August, so we would be going in the September 10th or something like that.
Yeah.
Or could it just be an information?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll just be a, it'll, yeah, we'll just get it to them and, yeah. You know, we'll try to get it on when we can. I don't think it's, we're not asking them for anything. We're not asking them for approvals or anything. We're just saying, you know.
That's my point. Could it just be an information memo without even being on an agenda?
It doesn't even have to be on an agenda, although I think they might want to discuss it. So.
Well, I think September 10th, for me at least, is probably when I'm hoping that the JPA amendment is going. So, and with that point, Capitola was going to form its own library advisory committee to advise the library board member. So we'll have a number, I think on September 10th for Capitola, we'll have a number of items on. So this would fit right in with an update on the regional measure.
And I think, I know for the Board of Supervisors, they probably welcome the opportunity to get the information and ask three questions and then they'll be done with it. You know, I don't think they're going to want to dwell on it, but they would probably like it on their agenda just so they can see what it says.
And the next Joint Powers Board meeting is September 14th. The one after that is October 15th. And there's no other schedule after that.
Okay. All right, so going back to item A, which is the appointment of legal counsel, mm-hmm. It sounds like we should probably get one. do we want to send out a little letter to the various firms? I know we have a little mailing list that we've used in the past. I don't know if others do, but maybe get a list of half a dozen or so and say.
Well, I would. Just solicit from each agency if they have a recommended list of attorneys, legal counsel we can contact, and we'll send it to all of them and gauge their level of interest.
Mm-hmm. So then we would get some sort of just statement of qualifications from various firms, and then we would
ask them who they'd assign and what their experience would be.
I'd like to. I mean, I think that that's probably appropriate because these guys will do pro bono work because they know it often leads into bigger projects, and they're all very talented and very good firms, but I'd like us to have sort of a.
And we're talking, let me clarify, we're talking about bond counsel, not counsel for the operating LFFA.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And typically bond counsel will just, there will be no charges until the bond issue is either done, or if there is no bond issue, then there will be charges.
Right.
Typically.
Okay.
So I'll just ping your respective staff members just to see if they're bond counsel firms they recommend, and then we'll gauge a level of interest that maybe some that just from a timeline purpose may not be interested, but we'll bring it back.
Some of the same ones.
The county often has the same one. Okay, but we'll be happy to give you our list. Okay, and then what about the issue? We're still using the attorneys from the various jurisdictions as need be. Is that still okay with everybody for a while? I mean, we haven't really needed any general purpose legal counsel. I suspect as time goes on, we're going to want one, but I don't know that we need it now.
I think if we transition to becoming the library board, at that point, the library board is going to have legal counsel or the same.
Right.
Same person advising us. So I'm fine for now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're fine for now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that takes care of item A, B, C, and we'll move to item D, which is the update on the recruitment for the library director. How are we doing on that? Item 12.
I'll turn that back to the board.
How are we doing on that?
I don't think we've done anything on it other than I think the focus has been on obviously the agreements and getting that together. Deborah had been assisting with the transition and other issues. And so I think it's just a matter of whether we want to start now or start as soon as the agreements are finalized or approved or and how we want to do that.
What's the schedule for the agreement?
I
wouldn't mind advertising, and it's out, it's advertising, and then we're adopting the agreements while it's advertising. Of course, if it goes south while we're adopting the agreements, that'd be another issue. But I mean, I wouldn't mind that, because presumably if we're advertising, someone's going to Google it and see that we're all holding
hands. Well, one question is if you want to hire a recruiter or not. That was done in the past.
I don't know
if we need to or not, but that's...
I think that would be a really good idea. I don't know that it depends how much it costs, but I think they would help us. And I think we're in enough of a state of transition that we'd like to get somebody good.
Last summer, we had a recruiter that specialized in library directors.
I can see her face. I don't think of her name in a minute. We do have that in the library budget in case you chose to use a recruiter.
In general, do you think that that's the best practice for library directors?
Okay. Yes, because I'm guessing you want to do a national search, and that's the best way to do that.
So
do you remember the name of the firm, Janice?
It was a woman.
Was it a woman from
San Jose
who consulted with?
Yeah, and
Jane?
I'm just
Jane Light?
No.
Was it Jane Light?
No, it wasn't. As soon as everybody leaves, I'll remember.
That's what she did is library directors.
That's all she does is
library.
Remember
the board selected her.
And you liked her, Martine?
At the time I wasn't as directly involved, she was good. And that's all she did was library directors, and she knew them very well, just had those contacts and knowledge base that was very helpful. And I think there was a subcommittee of board members who went through the process. Last process was there was a subcommittee of council of board members, and which had representatives from the county and the cities. Working with Dick, and they selected a consultant, and I think they reviewed a number of proposals, and then they worked with the consultant to do the interviews and to structure the process and go through the selecting the finalists and the final interviews and all of that process. But she was good, yeah.
Yeah, and she advised how to go about it and how much of the staff to involve in that side.
Right. It was a real thorough process.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my next date to approve a JPA amendment would be September 10th. Are we on track?
The council who took on vacation here, so I need to finalize the changes and get them out to make sure everyone's agreeable to all of the changes that have been expressed. And then I would hope we could get that all done this month.
They were just the legal technical changes that were made after we all saw it.
And then there were some comments that came up during various meetings. There was an interest in giving the advisory commission, an annual report responsibility, just minor things. Nothing major.
So potentially we're all adopting it through September. Does that sound like a reasonable expectation?
That's what we told everyone was our timeline.
Okay. So if we had the job out through September, that's probably a...
Then we could get started with doing an RFP for the recruiter, which, the library staff can work on that.
Okay.
You don't mean an RFP for the recruiter. You mean an RFP for the recruiter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to choose a recruiter, there's several.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm happy to go with the one that you had good success with the last time. If we're able to negotiate something reasonable, why don't we just do that? That'll shorten the timeline and.
Okay.
I mean, is that
I'll have to find it.
That extreme, that work
yeah.
for you?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a clear firm that makes sense.
She was a little bit on the older side.
Be careful there.
Not that many years, I guess. Because I'm looking, I can't find her empty image.
I know. I'm having the same problem. Why can't I find her?
Okay.
Is it Taylor and Associates?
Yes.
No.
Okay, that's the one that comes up as the Bay Area Library Management Consulting.
Just a reminder, this is the LFFA, the Library JPA Board will be the one directing action as to what to do. This is an informational discussion.
We're distracted.
I just don't want us to evolve into emotion.
Right, but we're going to be requesting that you start, that we hire the same person if we can, and if we can't, that we do some little mini RFP to determine who's better and come back, and then we would.
DLFA is making a recommendation to the Library JPA as far as advice.
Okay, but the Library GPA is not going to hire the library director. We are.
Not the LFFA. The Library JPA will be amended.
Once you're seated. Once you're the governor.
Yeah, between who you are today and who you'll be in 2 months.
Right. Oh, I'm having an identity crisis. Okay, I think we all understand. But the objective would be to get the person that you spoke highly of already to do the work if they can, and if they can't, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Okay.
And just procedurally, if the JPA's next meeting is September 14th, that's a ways away. So, it's in our budget. We did have the discussion at the JPA meeting about the need to get this ball rolling. So, I wonder if there would be a need for either a special meeting or a memo going out that we've given the discussion here. We want to launch this process. If anyone has any objections, they should call. I don't know exactly how to do it, but it seems like waiting a month just to take that next step is losing time.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to have to do that. Do we have to wait, Marcus, to get the JPA board to approve it?
I'm not going to opine on that.
Janice, do you have the authority to enter into these agreements already, or?
I believe that I do.
It's in the budget. So
I believe that I can.
So then I think we should just do it and let them know.
Just contact her. Would you like me to just send you her credentials before I do anything, just so that you have the opportunity to look at them?
Yeah, that would be great. And maybe just tell her we're interested in hiring her again and what are her rates and, you know, just kind of do an initial, you know,
and maybe we just
inquiry.
Inform the board.
And just do it. To the board.
We'll put that in our update.
Or it could be a separate update. I mean, I think the sense of actual forward motion is really important.
Right.
On the things that we can do.
Yes, Bruce.
Instead of just keeping Ms. O'Driscoll, she spent years understanding the facilities master plan. There's going to be a few years here that are going to be unlike any other years. And once you get past those few years, then it's going to be a different job. You might even want to hire somebody who's got project management experience, construction project management experience, and they could work together rather than trying to get a whole new library director in here. If you hire anybody from out of state, they're going to have to learn all about the open meeting law, and which, I think was a challenge with the last library director. Do you really need to switch horses?
Okay, well, thank you for that input. My experience has always been that it's always great to have a process and to allow people to participate in the process. And I'm not sure if Janice is interested in the position, but if she was, I'm sure we'd be delighted to consider her application among others. And my experience has been that it is not uncommon that when we do these processes, we sometimes find that the best candidate is right here in River City. So, you know, we'll let the process be our guide. And again, it's always great to know that, you know, you've chosen the best, and sometimes you've chosen the best from among your own people. And it's good to validate that by looking around and making sure. So I hope she does apply. I didn't know her good thought. I thought she wasn't that crazy, but but if she did, that would be delightful. Okay, so other questions or comments? Any other thoughts on the update on the director recruitment? Okay, so the board meeting calendar, I think we've kind of done that already, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then the next meeting, we determine that, so
August
we can adjourn.
Yes.
All right, thank you everybody for coming. We'll see you on August 27th.